and WBAI.org on the web. I want some sugar.
Hi, this is Cindy Lauper, and you're listening to WBAI.
Really got a hold on me.
Public radio. Gotta love it.
Welcome to Sunday, Gothamites. Adam J. Sachs, your host here. Join me as we go beyond the pale. Every Sunday at noon on WBAI, listener-supported free speech radio, streaming live on the internet at WBAI.org, and go to our website, beyondthepale.org, for a full archive and related links. And don't forget the Pacifica app for iPhone, where you can hear radio from around the country in 5 different markets, with Berkeley, Los Angeles, Houston, Washington, D.C., and Madison joining us here in New York. Before we continue, we ask you to do your part. We depend on you, our cherished listeners, to support WBAI and its singular mission. WBAI has been on 99.5 FM since 1948, sharing the year with the birth of the State of Israel, going on 66 years. The Pacifica Foundation was launched by pacifist Lou Hill in 1949 with the first ever listener-funded radio station in the country, KPFA Berkeley. The Pacifica mission called for radio that would foster understanding amongst nations and individuals, encourage creativity, and promote innovative, uncensored distribution of news. And the foundation operates exclusively for educational purposes. And in the radio broadcasting operations, according to the mission, it is to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to promote and aid creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. And in radio broadcasting, the mission is to provide operations to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups, and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation, to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. So we ask you to give, and more than ever, I think our show today is devoted to this mission. And you really will get more than your value worth in your donation. There are some compelling and enticing premiums here, so you cannot make a wrong move in your support. To tell you about our WBAI premiums, first from Beyond the Pale, be sure to mention our show when you call our pledge line at 212-209-2950. That again is 212-209-2950. Package 1, Living in a Socialist USA Pack, which includes a book, 2 CDs, and a bonus as well. Mm-hmm. It's an indictment of American capitalism as the root cause of our spreading dystopia and a cri de coeur for what life could be like in the United States if we had economic as well as a real political democracy. So there are essays from award-winning journalists, activists, thinkers, and artists. There is also a CD devoted to a dissection of the 30-year-old root causes of our recent financial crisis, courtesy of Richard Wolff, and the Archives of Law and Disorder. So this is all a great deal. It's a $280 value package, which you can get for only $150. And then we also have our next premium, WBAI 2014 Winter Fun Drive Pack, available during the entire drive. It's a $220 value package, which you can get for $150. It includes a new 2014 gray WBAI t-shirt. The text on the back, WBAI 99.5 FM, to the right of NPR on the dial, and to the left of everything else that matters. You can also get a WBAI black baseball cap And the Best of BAI on a Stick, a wonderful 4 GB flash drive that contains the voices of WBAI going back to 1960 when it began, a fitting tribute to the rich past of WBAI. Voices from Paul Robeson to Sam Cooke, James Brown, Rosa Parks, all throughout the causes that have shaped our recent history. So don't be afraid to pick up your phone and call. We would love to hear from you. Now on to our show today, fitting with the mission of WBAI. It is often said how impoverished American culture would be without the creations and contributions of Jews and those of African descent. From America's classical music, jazz, to Hollywood, America can hardly be imagined without such breakthroughs. Striking, though, is the extent to which these two cultures have interacted and even depended on each other. Perhaps in no other country or in history is there a comparable symbiosis between a group of European descent and one of African descent. As that suggests, Jews provided a key vehicle of mediation from African-American culture to the rest of the nation and ultimately the world. Certainly not a subject without its controversies, from Jewish ownership of record companies, from chess to Def Jam, the overall topic of Jews as middlemen in the American economy could easily consume a show in itself. But today we will proceed through three other lines of orientation. We will look at some stellar examples of interaction and inspiration derived by Jewish creators from African-American culture, and conclude with an examination of the overlooked history of Black Judaism in America. But we will start at the most obvious point of conjoinment. Those individuals fortunate enough to lay claim to both Black and Jewish heritage. Especially striking is that the triumvirate of titans of post-war Black American culture, Richard Pryor, Quincy Jones, and Alice Walker, all had Jewish spouses and kids who themselves have proved to be stellar creators. A brief anecdote: Alice Walker went to Gaza to meet with NGOs and residents to persuade Israel and Egypt to open their borders with Gaza. She wrote about her meeting with an elderly Palestinian woman who, upon accepting a gift from Walker, said, quote, "May God protect you from the Jews." Walker responded, "It's too late. I already married one." She was referring to her husband, the civil rights lawyer, Melvin Rosenthal. But now let's hear from Richard Pryor's daughter, Rain Pryor, who tackled her heritage directly in her one-woman show, Fried Chicken and Latkes.
Fried Chicken and Latkes is about me growing up Black and Jewish in the late 60s, 70s, and 80s, and the stereotypes that existed, because during that time, that's all there were stereotypes. So it really kind of focuses on them, because my grandmother, my Jewish grandmother, was a stereotype. My grandmother who ran the brothel was a stereotype. So it really addresses racism and tries to bring the cultures, Black, Jewish, and Black and white, kind of together. The characters I play in the show are my mother, my Jewish grandmother, my African-American grandmother who ran the brothel. I play a girl I went to high school with who told me that I couldn't go out with Jewish boys because I was Black and Jewish boys don't go out with Black girls. I play my father in it, which was a joy, which actually came out of a challenge that Nora Dunn, the actress, gave me. She said, "I really think you could play your dad and you should." And I was like, "I don't know if I could do that. I mean, it's my dad." And she goes, "Trust me." I watched my father's Long Beach comedy, and I found a bit in there that I really liked, and I started to do it and realized I could do him. So I went to him to ask permission because I wanted to do it in the show. And so when I went and I performed it for him, he just looked at me and he goes, "That's me." And I was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "So can I do you?" And he said, "Yeah." You know, and then he was like, "Don't F it up."
Hey guys, it's Billy here in Midtown Manhattan.
Okay, and now we're going to hear from Rashida Jones, the lovely daughter of Quincy Jones and model and actress Peggy Lipton from the Mod Squad. And we'll hear from her in a very revealing comic interlude courtesy of Billy Eichner.
Hey guys, it's Billy here in Midtown Manhattan with the beautiful and talented Rashida Jones. Rashida is on Parks and Recreation, but that has nothing to do with the fact that we're about to play my new favorite game, Whistleblow That Jew. How are you, Rashida?
I'm great, Billy.
Are you excited to play Whistleblow That Jew?
Never been more excited.
Okay, here's how Whistleblow That Jew works. I'm going to run down a list of celebrities and what may be their original, more Jewish-sounding birth name. If you think what I'm saying is not true and they didn't change their name, say not that name. If you think what I'm saying is true and they changed their name from a more Jewish-sounding name, say Full of Shame. Not that name or Full of Shame. Do you understand?
I understand.
Okay. If you get enough right, you win a big prize. All right. Are you ready, Rashida?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, if you're ready, now it's time to play Whistleblow That Jew. Here we go. Not that name or Full of Shame. And away we go. John Stewart was John Leibowitz.
Full of Shame?
Yes, correct. David Schwimmer was Jacob Snailman.
Not that name.
Correct. Natalie Portman was Natalie Herschlag.
Shame.
Yep, full of shame, Natalie. Yep. Will I Am was Zach Steinberg.
Never that name.
Yes, correct. Kat Dennings was Catherine Litvak.
Oh, full of shame.
Yes, correct. Kat Dennings, you're full of shame. Okay, Paula Abdul was Rachel Ben-Hanica. Oh, Rashida, pull it together, God.
I wish. Never that name.
Jonah Hill was Jonah Feldstein.
Full of shame.
Shia LaBeouf was Brisket Blousman.
Never that name.
Yes, correct. Kelly Clarkson was Sarah Gross Bittman.
Never that name.
Correct. Brad Garrett is Brad Gerstenfeld.
Full of shame?
Yes, correct. God, you're good at this. Woody Allen is Alan Koningsberg.
Full of shame.
Yes, correct. Andrew Garfield was Aaron Yodelsberg.
Never that name.
Correct. Tyler, the Creator was Moshe Ben Moses.
Never that name.
Correct. Winona Ryder was Winona Laura Horowitz.
Full of shame.
Yes, correct. Correct. Three more. Mindy Kaling was Rebecca Schechter.
Never that name.
Correct. Correct. Bob Dylan was Robert Zimmerman.
Full of shame.
Yes, correct. Gene Simmons is Chaim Weitz.
Ooh. Never that name.
No, full of shame. I'll give you one more. Jackie Chan was Mel Schwartz.
Never that name.
Correct. Yes, Rashida, you win. Whistleblow That Jew. Let's see her prize. Oh, it's a plunger.
Oh.
Yes, it works. No, it's a good gift.
How do you know that it works?
No, it's a plunger has a lot of utility.
What else besides plunging out of a toilet?
Well, I'd wear it as a hat.
Hat?
Yeah.
Like a little bow tie.
A bow tie would be great.
Peg leg.
I love her. Charlize Theron to wear it on her shoulder and think she still looks beautiful. That's what I love about Charlize Theron. Don't you? I love Charlize Theron.
Gorgeous.
Pretty Girl with a Plunger is my favorite Bob Marley song, by the way. Oh, Rashida. Thanks for playing Whistleblow That Jew. Let's say hi to all our fellow Jews.
Hi, Jews.
Hope we didn't whistleblow you too hard. Thanks, Rashida. Congratulations. We'll be right back. Making
dreams come. Now, for all humor aside, I think that this revealing clip shows the extent to which the ethnic markings of Jews specifically have been a cause both for camouflage but also stimulation of creativity. And we'll see that the ethnic markings themselves become an issue with questions of continuity and of conversion and of the very identity and the meeting ground between blacks and Jews that clearly Rashida Jones was sensitive to herself. Let's go to a more recent clip, a recent appearance of the great Canadian hip-hop star, Drake, who quite openly and demonstratively celebrates his black Jewish heritage.
Ladies and gentlemen, Drake!
I'm so excited to be here hosting Saturday Night Live in New York City. One thing you may not know about me is that I'm actually Canadian. I grew up and there's a lot of Canadians here. Bro. I grew up and still live in Toronto, the city of Toronto, where the rappers are polite and the mayor smokes crack. It was one time. We tried it one time. Here's some other things you may not know about me. Once upon a time, I went by my real name, Aubrey Graham, and I starred in the teen drama Degrassi High. I'm actually the person that coined the term YOLO. I'd really like to take this opportunity to publicly apologize. I did not realize your annoying friends and co-workers would use it so much. My sincerest apologies. Here's another fun fact. I am Jewish. Jewish and Degrassi, you never know it. And needless to say, having a Jewish mother and a black father made for a very interesting bar mitzvah experience. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was 1999 and both sides of my family were meeting for the very first time.
Thank you all for coming to Toronto for our little Aubrey's bar mitzvah. He's been working so hard on his Haftorah and his Aliyah.
Torah, Aliyah. Man, I know those girls. I met them on the road.
Oy vey, that's what I get for marrying a black boy. Okay, everybody, get off your tuchuses and let's give a big mazel tov to our little Aubrey.
He's becoming a man.
Thank you all for being here today. To my mom's side of the family, I say Shabbat Shalom. And to my dad's side of the family, I say what's up? Like the Budweiser commercial. It's 1999. I'm 13. That's hilarious. As a man, I'd like to announce that I will now be called Drake. I'm sorry, Drake up. I want to thank my family, including my grandmothers, Bubby, and my dear. All 150 cousins, both real and play. What's up? And I'd like to especially thank my Uncle Larry and Auntie Kim, who came all the way from Memphis tonight.
Well, you know, I wouldn't miss the chance to hear my favorite nephew say a bunch of weird words that I don't understand.
Mazel tov.
Oh, this is your Auntie Rhonda.
What happened to Auntie Kim?
Oh, she back at the house.
Uncle Barry, I have a gift, yo. In the Jewish tradition, we always give money in multiples of 18. So here's your very own savings bond for $18.
And from me, here's a check for $1,000. Don't cash it for 90 days.
We clearly have our differences, but I'm so proud of both sides of my culture. Uncle Barry, Uncle Larry, you're Jewish, you're black, I'm both. We're a family. You know what? Let me tell you how it goes. DJ Mordecai Jones, hit that beat.
I'm black and Jewish, don't be so foolish. I'm black and Jewish, it's a mitzvah. Please don't forget I'm black. Please don't forget I'm Jewish. I play ball like LeBron and I know what a W-2 is. Chilling in Boca Raton with my man, Lenny Kravitz. The only purple drink we sip is purple Manischewitz. At my show, you won't simply put your hands in the air. We can also raise a chair or recite a Jewish prayer like
Baruch Yitadel Yisrael Vita Kim Kardashian Kanye West. Amen.
Hova with Nova, McNish's with my bitches, a bagel and cream cheesy with my boy, his name is Wheezy.
Do not go to Feingold's though, the pickles are rubber.
Then I will not be harming ya. I read the Old Testament, okra and matzo ball, I'll eat the rest of it. I celebrate Hanukkah, dated Rihanna, girlfriend in Israel, mama from Canada, daddy from Africa, both of Beth worlds when you're Jewish and black and ya. Holla! We got a great show for you tonight. I'm here, so stick around and we will be right back.
There you have it, a black Jewish bar mitzvah. And Drake took care of us for mentioning Lenny Kravitz, another notable star with the same heritage. Also should be mentioned the great longtime Saturday Night Live performer Maya Rudolph, who can also claim the same heritage. And now on to a classic clip I think you'll recognize.
Pound for pound, Sugar Ray Robinson, the greatest fighter ever lived.
Oh, come on, man. What about Joe Louis?
The Brown Bomber. Now that was a great boxer.
You damn right.
I suppose nobody in here ever heard of Cassius Clay.
But you got a point. Cassius Clay was a bad motherfucker.
Hey, I ain't saying Clay ain't bad. I'm just saying I stopped liking Cassius Clay once you changed the name to Muhammad Ali. What kind of shit is that?
Wait a second. A man has the right to change his name to whatever he wants to change it to. And if a man wants to be called Muhammad Ali, goddammit, this is a free country. You should respect his wishes and call the man Muhammad Ali.
His mama named him Clay. I'm going to call him Clay.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I say Clay.
Get out of here.
That's right. That's right. He can always be Clay to me. I don't give a what chain name to. He is Clay. He Clay to me. I say Clay.
Well, then you're a putz. The three of you. Three putzes. You should change the name outside from Mighty Sharp to the Three Putzes.
Eddie Murphy doing double duty there as a black barber and a Jewish grandfather. Note perfect in ways I'm sure many of us can recognize. Also helped along by Arsenio Hall, that taken from the barber scene of Coming to America. So let's move on to hip-hop, as was mentioned, the issue of Jewish economic mediation in this music. If we take examples like Rick Rubin, Lior Cohen, and performers like the Beastie Boys and Matisyahu. But is this relationship only financial? It seems that hip-hop has always beat somewhere in the Hebrew chest itself, as a recent contribution to The Forward had it. Jewish prayer is probably the closest thing to hip-hop in terms of words sung in high speed. Larry David has pointed out the resemblance between hip-hop's izzle suffix in Yiddish. Sarah Silverman has noted that yo is the reverse of oi. Perhaps these similarities are the result of the Caribbean influence at the roots of hip-hop, singing about Zion. The Rastafarians chant yeah, jah, and hey, recalling sacred names of God in Hebrew. Does hip-hop practice Kabbalah? This may sound far-fetched, but looking at the cover of Absol's latest hit album, Illuminate, which features the sacred blueprint of the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, it seems the mystic and the historic aspects are really one and the same. A large portion of Jewish faith is rooted in the recognition of God as Matir Asurim, the unchainer of slaves. And hip-hop and Judaism have always been all about breaking out of slavery. In Slavery Aware 2013, hip-hop's fascination with Jewish money-making may be read as an appreciation of a similarly persecuted minority's survival mechanism. And we should point out, Seattle ex-gangster rapper D-Black converted to Judaism, changed his name to Nisim, and this year released Sores. The single, featuring a Hazan, weaves together the narratives of a Holocaust survivor and a black slave. Maybe this is what 2013 had been, an act of recognition between two traumas.
When it comes to civil, you don't got to worry about the G-Unit. Worry about the Jew-Unit. They're the real goon squad. And when the lawyers come out, they're going to see what it is.
That's me, true. Peace, blue, Hebrew. Lawyer on my side, keep me out of jail. The feast do. Shout to the coldest on my barometer. Berkman, Shapiro, Kalina, Hanukkah.
My lawyers, because we smoke sour to deal with the paranoia that they charge by the hour. Can't hire the Jewish lawyer.
Court cases, no laces, orange dickies. Jewish lawyer helping you, but he costs cheese.
Ask yourself, what you want to do this for? Good Jewish lawyer turning 10 to a 2 to 4. Put it out there, see if it tastes right. Young Jewish bulldog, keeping the case right.
Now fresh out, get red in the face. Cause I had a Jewish lawyer and he ate the kiss.
Blacks got a bad crease, I'm with a bad piece. On my side, Jewish lawyer with the half piece.
Some think I'm strange. I thought you knew. Some try to sue. Lawyers a Jew. Publicist too, but who are you?
One day you hot, the next day you not. Spoke about it with a lawyer who was Jewish.
You swear you're ballin', but you're foolish. Didn't block them for crimes and your lawyers ain't Jewish.
With my posse in the projects, 500 on a tennis, I'm like Gotti in the projects. Jewish lawyers, niggas, so I got to beat the charges.
Hold up, wait, let me explain. Have my niggas move keys of cane. Jewish lawyers, what we retain. Hit my cars where she get brain.
Cash out, Jewish lawyer, not a case closed. Niggas haters when I pull up, see they face froze.
Repeat offender, I need a baker playing in the whip as they pull me over, my sweet surrender. Got a Jewish lawyer as my lead defender. A Mitch Kite, as they say, he's a legal bender.
I ain't wanna pull it, but I had to do it. I'll be out tomorrow. My lawyer Jewish, he worked hard. He put in work.
Run my way to chop spray. Bodies drop, we beat the case. My true lawyer defeat the case. Louis Chase, can't see you late.
I am
is blue, his businessman is Jewish. And if I get sued, my lawyer's Jews.
Flashback, not having much, not having that. Had to get some holler breasts, you can holler back at. Holler that, my Jewish lawyer, to enjoy the fruit of letting my cash stack. And just in case a nigga got to use his
charge,
oh yeah, I had like two. My black lawyer beat him, never had a Jew. I done had a few, never used, had them new. Saw a Pac in a white suit, I ain't mad at you. No Diddy, no Dupree, no Dr. Dre.
In this montage, we have great witness to the appreciation of a similarly persecuted minority's survival mechanism. Now let's move on to the inspiration derived from African-American culture towards Jewish immigrants and their creations. Striking is how much of Jewish culture in the United States has been around the awareness and concern of black culture as what ultimately distinguished America from the European-derived Christian civilization they had known. Now, when the composer George Gershwin set upon to create an American idiom in classical music, he looked no further than to the African-American tradition and in what many consider the first American opera. Gershwin dramatized this history in his Porgy and Bess. And here we hear one of the star African-American opera singers, Kathleen Battle, interpret with the support of the Montreal Symphony Orchestra, Gershwin's Summertime. Now to move on to an artist, Bob Dylan, who I think indisputably is recognized for his own links and devotion to African-American culture from his late gospel period to his early civil rights period. And here we'll listen to a vintage recording made by Bob Dylan in Greenwood during the Freedom Summer in 1963. And this is about a momentous occasion during the civil rights movement, and Dylan provides an extremely incisive analysis of the predicament of the African-American population struggling with American apartheid.
Poverty shacks, he looks from the cracks to the tracks.
Now, the notion of a manipulation of the powers that be of the downtrodden towards racial and even proto-genocidal violence was something very clear, especially for Jews who had fled precisely such a formation in Europe. And we would now like to turn to Dr. Joachim Prinz, a German-born rabbi from Berlin, leader of the Zionist movement in Nazi Germany, who escaped and survived to lead a congregation in Newark. And he devoted much of his life after arriving in the United States to the civil rights movement. And he saw the plight of African Americans and other minority groups in the context of his own experience in the Europe dominated by Hitler. And of course, in Newark, he spoke from his pulpit about the disgrace of discrimination. He joined picket lines. And most notably, he contributed the Jewish moment of the March on Washington in 1963. Representing the Jewish community in his role as president of the American Jewish Congress, Joachim Prinz came to the podium immediately following a stirring spiritual sung by the folk singer Odetta, and just before the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his famous I Have a Dream speech.
America must not become a nation of onlookers. America must not remain silent. I was the rabbi of the Jewish community in Berlin under the Hitler regime. I learned many things. The most important thing that I learned in my life, and under those tragic circumstances, is that bigotry and hatred are not the most urgent problem. The most urgent, the most disgraceful, the most shameful, and the most tragic problem is silence. A great people. A great people which had created a great civilization had become a nation of silent onlookers. They remained silent in the face of hate, in the face of brutality, and in the face of mass murder. America must not become a nation of onlookers.
And to share a quote from his colleague in Berlin, Leo Beck, Nichts ist schlimmer als das Schweigen. Nothing is worse than silence. America must not become a nation of onlookers. And now we will return to the history of Black Judaism in America, which is a preview of a future show when we will have, Hopefully we will have representatives of the Black Jewish community. Rabbi Capers Funyeh from Chicago also happens to be a first cousin once removed of FLOTUS, the First Lady of the United States, and then more locally from St. Albans, Queens, Congregation Beth Elohim, Rabbi Levy. We're happy to invite them during the month of March. Now, the history of Black Judaism emerged out of course, a complicated relationship with Christianity, and gives us pause to reflect on the recent debate in genetic anthropology about whether Jews themselves are of Middle East descent, or whether specifically the Central and Eastern European-derived Jewish community, which is majoritarian in the United States, the Ashkenazim, or whether they may be actually descended from the Caucasus region, closer relations to Armenians and Georgians, descended from this now disappeared community of the Khazar Turkic kingdom that converted to Judaism in the High Middle Ages around 800 CE. Now, what's notable is the question of whether or not there is a coherence to Jewish genetic ancestry, and whether or not this issue in the age of globalization, for the first time, it was the global diversity of the Jewish people was made apparent to all. I mean, there's the saying that before the era of global communications made it possible to be in contact around the world, that each Jewish community believed that it was the only one left in the world. So the Ethiopian Jews, for instance, for a long time, until contact brought about through the creation of the State of Israel, believed that they were, in fact, the last remaining and only Jewish community in the world. But of course, there is the question of how do we explain the phenotypic diversity between Yemenite, Moroccan, and Polish. And I would submit that the issue of continuity that's often raised in the context of the Jewish community in America has almost more to do with an ethnic issue about a specific Ashkenazi subculture, not necessarily shared by Jews of different backgrounds. And we can see that the promotion of programs like Birthright by outspoken atheists such as Michael Steinhardt do not have a specific religious agenda at work. Now, to turn to the history of Black Judaism in America, about which we will discover and discuss in great detail in a future show, usually refer to themselves as Black Hebrew Israelites rather than Jews, and their number around 200,000 in America, stress identification with the ancient Israelites, and it's really a product of the influence and the development of Black Zionism under Marcus Garvey, and an inspiration derived from the example of Ethiopian Jewry. And now we will hear a panel discussion which features Rabbi Levy of Beth Elohim and Rabbi Funyeh, amongst others.
What characterizes the type of tradition in Jewish life and practice that you follow? And please, when you speak, would identify yourself and the congregation where you come from, if you would.
I'm Rabbi Shlomo Levy. I'm the president of the International Israelite Board of Rabbis and the spiritual leader of Beth Elohim Hebrew Congregation in St. Albans, Queens, New York. And what I would say briefly in terms of what people should understand about our community is that the essence of our community is a faith tradition. Race is both a barrier and a bridge to Judaism. And by that I mean that for African Americans who are unaware of the African origins of Judaism, they see Judaism as a foreign and alien religion. In that case, it's a barrier to them. Mm-hmm. But those who embrace it, that becomes part of the reason why we can connect to Judaism, that it isn't foreign. So this is the nationalist part of it in terms of how we embrace both our blackness and our Jewishness. But in the practice of it, it is the faith tradition that sustains us, that maintains us, that we love, and that's what we have in common, I think, with all Jews all over the world.
My name is Capers Funyeh. I'm rabbi and spiritual leader of Beth Shalom Ben Izaak, an Ethiopian Hebrew congregation located here in Chicago, Illinois. I think that it is a matter of faith that connects our community with other Jewish communities around the world. I have traveled and visited synagogues from London to Paris to other parts of the world, and have Spain, and have been very warmly received. Our services, by far, are pretty much the same. The prayers are all the same. And I think for myself personally, I want to just take a quote from Jerzy Kuzinski's The Painted Bird book. And in his book, The Painted Bird, he used to, Lubda used to take birds and catch them and paint them different colors. Jews come in all colors. We come in all races. But unfortunately, Jews of African and African-American descent have been treated like painted birds. We have been pushed away from the broader community. And I'm prayerful that in my lifetime, we will see a greater degree of reaching back to us as we have reached out to other communities in the United States and around the world.
By the way, shalom, my name is Rabbi Baruch Yehuda. I am the spiritual leader of B'nai.Kobe Yisrael in Brooklyn, New York. And I also serve as the dean of the Academy, the Israelite Academy of the Board of Rabbis. I think that I don't necessarily want to call it a difference, but the thing that is stark with our community is that we function under the understanding of being a redeemed people, a people that have come back to something that has always belonged to them. This is not a notion that we picked up to join, but an inheritance that we have returned to, that we don't begrudge anyone else of, but we insist that everyone recognize that we too will not be begrudged of our own culture and heritage that has spanned millennia. Whether or not we were able to touch it in the same ways as we are now, as the information is becoming more apparent, there's more and more of a reclamation of this information, this being of who we are.
If I could ask a question, can you, although it may be obvious, can you talk about how this knowledge of identity, the awareness of the Jewish roots that you're referring to, was interrupted? How historically can you explain why there was a redemption, and how you became reconnected, not you individually, but as a group? How did this interruption occur in the reconnection?
Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Binyamin Levy. I'm currently the New York Board of Rabbis president. And to answer your question, to start it, it's not surprising to me, and I think many of us can that sit here. We are African American, meaning we are born here in America, but are clearly of African descent. And you look back through our history through time, the reality is we've lost most of all of our history, our language, our culture, our land, clearly. So it is surprising to many that today look at us and say, how could this be? But the reconnection, again, started Shalom Alive with our founder, Rabbi Wentworth Arthur Matthews, who opened the door for not only us, but all people who consider themselves African descent. It's clearly in the Bible. It's clearly in the Tanakh when we talk about Moshe being born in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, on the continent of Africa. So it shouldn't be foreign, but again, this is all about re-education, and that's one of the things that we do in teaching and where we are and all over the world. The awakening, the bringing back the knowledge of who we are, reclaiming it, being redeemed by the Most High.
Shalom. My name is Rabbi Eliyahu Yehuda. I am the past president of New York Local Board of Rabbis, currently newly founded Beit Tikkia, and also an assistant rabbi at Beth Elohim Congregation, St. Albans, Queens. I believe in the prophecy of Isaiah 11:11. It was taught by my rabbi, the late Dada Falasha, Yaakov, Luca, that I will bring thee back from the four corners of the earth and from the islands of the sea, from Pathros and from Cush and so forth. So that message that Isaiah said or gave us was an indication that we as African Americans have a part to play in this regathering of the people from the four corners of the earth. The prophecy said we would be scattered, but it also says that we will be regathered back from all genres of people, whether they be Cochin Jews of India, whether they be Falasha in Ethiopia, whether they be Chinese. So that's the reason why I feel the calling.
Shalom, I'm Rabbi Yeshurun Ben Levi. I'm the spiritual leader and Rabbi Beth Shalom Hebrew Congregation, 730 Willoughby Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. As has been stated by most of the rabbis here, you know, we are reclaiming something that has been in our history for millenniums of years. And the aspect of having come forward now and reclaiming something that has always been ours is something that we all look to continue to achieve. You know, our history begins in Africa. The Torah begins in Africa, and we're just following up a prophecy that has been stated as such. Deuteronomy 28 states it as well. Our history is evolved around the Torah, and the Torah itself says, I will bring you back from the four corners of the earth. So therefore, we are kind of like bringing back the fourfold of that prophecy.
Shalom Aleichem. I'm Rabbi Shlomi Mizrahi of Atlanta, Georgia. And just to sum up with what my colleagues have said, it's just a reclamation and a gathering of the people from the four corners of the earth, and just a return to our foundation, and you know, that being our Judaism, and that's just basically it.
You are listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, joined with your host Adam J. Sachs. As we have gone beyond the pale today, and we heartily encourage you to support our listener-sponsored free speech programming, before we conclude today, we will turn to a group of African-American, Black Hebrew Israelites, who actually ventured across the ocean to settle in Israel around Dimona, and that population, now onto its third, in some cases fourth generation, has produced a gospel choir renowned that tours around the world, as well as an international restaurant chain, the Soul Vegetarian, and have emerged as dominant force in the tofu production of Israel. And in particular, they have represented the State of Israel on the International Eurovision Contest that we have mentioned before on the show. And you will hear in this excerpt from the 2006 competition a truly remarkable fusion and symbiosis of Hebrew culture and African-American culture.
Ah, it's another one of our charmers. There's only three of them. You'll grow to know and love them. That'll be the Aegean, then. The Israeli entry is called Together We Are One. It's written by Yaakov Lamai, Orly Berg, Osnat Zabag. It's going to be sung by Eddie Butler. So far, there's no sign of Brian Moore. They're very, very proud of that airport, and you'll be seeing quite a bit of it. Now, the Israeli entry is all in white, and white is the new black this year.
עם כל הנשמה, זה הרגע, זה הזמן, it's now or never. זה הזמן לא לפחד ולפתוח את הלב. Raise your hands and pray for love together.
Raise your hands and pray together.
בתור ליבי ושם אני יודע שרק אהבה מצית לאהבה.
Look into your soul,
listen to your heart. Oh, ha, boh, ha, ha, ha.
You have been listening to Ze Hazman, This Is the Time, composed by Eddie Butler, written in a mix of Hebrew and English, with the rhythm and blues inflected song fusing traditions of African American music, representing the State of Israel at the Eurovision, similar to WBAI, that competition created to foster and promote positive international relations, and to return to the mission of WBAI, to promote the study of political and economic problems and the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. And our show today devoted in honor of Black History Month to the relations, history, and cultural productivity of the Black-Jewish symbiosis in the United States and abroad. And we again would like to close our program by urging you heartily to show your support for WBAI, listener-sponsored free speech radio. Our pledge line is 212-209-2950. That number again, 212-209-2950. We encourage you to give as much as you are able to. And as a courtesy for your donation, there are premiums available. There are two packages of premiums available. What you will receive in the first premium is Imagine Living in a Socialist USA, a book that explores the root causes of the spreading dystopia and a cri de coeur for what life could be like in the United States if we had economic as well as a real political democracy. Many voices coming to word there. It is also joined by an analytic CD by Richard Wolff, who dissects the 30-year-old root causes of the recent financial crisis and capitalism hits the fan. Also available in this premium package one is The Archives of Law and Disorder. And in our Winter Fun Drive pack, you also will receive a WBAI t-shirt, a black baseball cap, and the best of BAI on a stick, which, in case we didn't need the recall, the important history and role that WBAI has played in American post-war history, again, on 99.5 FM, all the way back since 1948. And this 4-gigabyte flash drive contains the voices of WBAI. It's a tribute to the past. You'll hear voices such as Paul Robeson, such as Sam Cooke, such as James Brown, Rosa Parks, and you'll hear from historical interviews going back from the recent events such as the Boston Marathon, the Newtown Memorial, but going all the way back to the early part of the civil rights movement. We encourage to give as much as you can, and there happen to be also as a courtesy these wonderful premiums on hand. We encourage you again to visit our website, beyondthepale.org, for a full archive of previous shows, which are also available via the iTunes Music Store. And we cannot give a more hearty thanks to our wonderful engineer, Sean Rhodes, who has really gone above and beyond, especially for this show, with some complicated clips steering us clear of any potential complications, which the FCC, to make sure to deliver in as clear a format as possible these historic speeches, songs, and audio. We thank you kindly for listening. Now please stay tuned for Sheldon Walton and Walden's Pond.
I'm Marilyn Kleinberg-Niemark, co-host of Beyond the Pale, WBAI's program of Jewish culture and politics. Join the steady stream of WBAI Buddy monthly subscribers. Fill out the secure online form at our website at WBAI.org to donate $10 or more each month directly from your credit card or checking account. In addition to cutting down on on-air fund drive days, WBAI Buddies will get a WBAI tote bag and the members' perks cards for discounts around the city. Look for details on the WBAI website. Thanks for your continuing support. And, of course, remember to tune in to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York on Sundays at noon to listen to Beyond the Pale.
The WBAI Community Advisory Board will be having meetings every Sunday in February, starting at 1 p.m., at WBAI's office at 388 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, between Hoyt and Bond Streets. The possibility of the loss of local control of all WBAI programming remains possible with the 6 lease management options for WBAI on the table. The CAB will continue to act to prevent that from happening, but we need your help. Again, every Sunday in February, starting at 1 p.m., the WBAI Community Advisory Board will be meeting at 388 Atlantic Avenue to discuss the matters and hear your thoughts on programming.
When you think of the golden age of radio, you're bound to remember the performer whose hold on the heartstrings of America spanned almost 3 generations.
Well, thank you, Jack. Yes, it's Max Schmid, and I'm your host for the Golden Age of Radio. Sunday nights at 7 p.m. here on WBAI, presenting the finest in radio's history, comedy, drama, mysteries, science fiction. Won't you join me Sunday nights at 7 for the Golden Age of Radio? Only here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
I hope you feel.
Mambo, charanga, son montuno, jazz, merengue, plena, Latin jazz, Latin soul, Brazilian jazz, samba, calypso, soca, new sounds from the African continent, all this and more on New World Gallery every Sunday, 4 o'clock p.m. with award-winning host Chico Alvarez. New World Gallery, where jazz meets Latin, where Africa and Europe converge, right here on listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM.
This is Cornel West, and for the best in rhythm and blues, reggae, ska, calypso, and all the musical cultures in the rich African diaspora, I listen to the Midnight Ravers on alternate Fridays over listener-sponsored non-commercial radio WBAI 99.5 FM. The Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special show.
once they were as warm as you. Like you, they fully expected to pull back the covers, then rise from their beds the next morning. They'd been to the market and bought eggs and bread for tomorrow's breakfast. They'd confirmed appointments with friends, students, lovers. Why, they had even picked out the clothes they meant to wear after their morning showers. But then, inevitably, they never did rise from that bed. Perhaps they never made it to the